this week on Breaking Badness. Today we discuss Spoof There It Is. Today we're talking about a recent investigation we completed into looking into spoof domains targeting the American Girl doll brand. Next up, A Pirate's Life for Me. Proofpoint Emerging Threats reports of over 24 accounts and videos distributing malware to YouTube. And of course, our fun game, Gold Guidance and Grievances. With that, Breaking Badness is next. Welcome to Breaking Badness, episode number 186, recorded on April 8th, 2024. I'm your co-host, Callie. She was an American girl, Fensel. And with me is co-host Ian, Endgame Campbell, and last but not least, Tim Yoho Helming. I like it.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, Tim and I aren't going to sing ours.
Oh, man.
Right.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
But
I could try to work up something from the Pirates of Penzance. That's my go-to pirate music.
I don't know what that is, actually.
Oh, it's a light opera by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh, okay.
And, it's really fun.
Cool. I'm going to have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a special day. It is Eclipse Day, everybody, as we are recording this. So,
and would anybody on this podcast happen to be in the path of totality this year?
Maybe me. Might be me. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yes,
thank you. Yeah. I'm just holding out because I think a lot of people know that Cleveland can be pretty cloudy. And there are some clouds in the sky, but not so many that I don't think this is not impossible. We can make it to 313.
Here's the thing. It'll get dark anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You're going to have a good event.
Good. I hope so. I've got my ISO certified glasses. I'm all ready to go. Yeah.
my dad shared a photo. I had forgotten about this, but from the 2017 eclipse of my mom standing out on their deck looking up skyward through his welding goggles. It's pretty good. It's one of those full welding masks. I had forgotten about that picture.
Oh, go ahead, Ian.
I'm not actually in the path of totality, but I have my eclipse glasses ready. It's just that they're drink glasses. I figured out two different cocktails, and I just have them sort of sitting here waiting. Those are my eclipse glasses.
And my eclipse glasses are, guess what? They're my glasses. I think we're getting about maybe 10%, and it's super overcast here. There's going to be absolutely nothing here in Seattle out of the ordinary today. So, oh well.
We need this. Our sports teams they do pretty well, and then things happen at the end a lot that's pretty disappointing. So we need this win.
I'll tell you, Seattle Mariners, longest playoff drought or World Series drought ever in baseball history. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. I'm going to talk about the eclipse more in Gold Guidance and Grievances, but
sounds like a good, and that's for longtime listeners. That's an interesting hint because Callie typically introduces Gold Guidance and Grievances, but stay tuned to see what that's all about.
Yeah. Should we talk about some InfoSec?
Yeah. And how about this, Callie? Guess what? I think we should turn the old microphone around, and I think I should interview you. What do you think about that?
I think that would be really interesting and fun for me.
Okay.
I hope it's
Look
fun
up
for
a story
listeners.
Really quick. Okay, you looked it up. You got it, right?
I got it.
Cool. You researched everything?
I did.
Wrote a blog about it?
I did.
She's really fast, folks. All right. Well, hey, let's dive into that first story then. Spoof, There It Is. Today we're talking about a recent investigation we completed looking into spoof domains targeting the American Girl doll brand. So, Callie, tell us a little about your history with American Girl. Did it involve anything to do with your appearance on Zoom, the television program? And what was it that made you want to start this investigation you did?
Yeah. So I will say the Zoom and American Girl are unfortunately not linked yet. Maybe I can maybe make that work at some point.
Yeah, but you can just try to sort of work it into the narrative in a completely fictitious way. That's fine.
I just want people to remember that I was on Zoom and yeah.
This podcast is dedicated to making sure nobody ever forgets that.
I know. It's very important to me. But yeah, I've been a fan of the American Girl brand since I was about seven. And I know I'm in my 30s, you know, saying I'm still a fan. I never really stopped liking the brand. I'm a history buff. If you don't know anything about American Girl, their dolls, it started as a historical vehicle to teach, you know, kids, specifically girls, about history through dolls and play. There's a doll for, you know, pretty much every era within history. I never really stopped liking it. And interest reignited around when the pandemic began, as it did for a lot of other fans. I think, you know, during the pandemic, we're looking at nostalgia and we're looking for a little bit of an escape. And that's really what it is for me. I wouldn't say I'm a rabid fan. I'm not really interested in collecting per se. I just like looking at forums. It's just an escape. I like looking at forums and seeing what's going on. And one of them is the American Girl subreddit. And one day I noticed somebody in there was asking if a domain called usgirlshop.com was legitimate, because they were looking at, they wanted discontinued merchandise, which I completely understand. I think since the pandemic started, you know, people have been wanting to, when they're looking at American Girl, they're trying to, you know, either fill out their collections more, replace things that they used to have. So yeah, this person's looking for discontinued merch. And that was an opportunity when my worlds collided, where I was just like, I need to look into this further, because now that, you know, I've been working with domain tools, I have the ability to do that. So I used Iris Investigate to investigate this particular domain in more depth.
Well, so now, quick question. So they're still making new American Girls, right?
Yes.
Okay. And they're looking at history. So, and you mentioned the pandemic. So is there going to be like a PPE American Girl?
You know, people have made a lot of jokes like that.
And they're not funny. Is that where you were going?
No, I like them a lot. Like, people have been like, you know, are they going to make an American Girl doll that, you know, has like a mask, and the mask costs like $30? Because it is expensive. And that's something too to think about, you know, when people are looking at these websites like usgirlshop.com, is, you know, you're looking for this stuff that's either discounted or at a better price, because, you know, it can be a pricey endeavor, American Girl. It always was. Like, I as a kid, the only reason I got to have an American Girl doll is because my dad is such a nice guy. We didn't have a lot of money, and he made Christmas happen by being in a wedding band, and like the money from that like went to buying a doll. So it's just like, I completely get where these, you know, fans are coming from, like trying to figure out ways to get merchandise that, you know, either is not available on AmericanGirl.com or at a less expensive price.
I kind of feel like there ought to be a movie about your family.
I don't know.
Ian, what do you think?
I have no comment. And I wish to remain friends with Callie.
All right. So, well, okay. So this is good. So you're going to turn your investigative powers on usgirlshop.com. So, but before you do that, in our narrative here, why should brands be protective or take a proactive stance in protecting their brands? I mean, we probably could think of a lot of obvious answers to this, but I want to know what yours is based on what we're kind of specifically looking into here.
Yeah. So there are, and not like it's stealing intellectual property or IP, But there are off brands of the American Girl brand. Like there's Our Generation at Target. Actually, Williamsburg, the Living Historical Museum in Virginia, they actually make their own dolls now. There was a Revolutionary doll that American Girl had. They discontinued her, and Williamsburg makes their own now, their own brand. But, you know, in terms of protecting your IP, you know, it ensures that you have a market differentiation and you can maintain a competitive advantage, which therefore, you know, helps attract investors and partners. And that can lead to, you know, perhaps an international expansion. And, you know, in this case, you know, I can't really speak to how American Girl wants to necessarily expand globally when your name is American Girl. Like, I'm not sure if other countries are interested in that necessarily. But, you know, that's just one reason that you'd want to protect your brand. You know, another one is it helps your company grow and foster new innovations without the fear of easy replication. Like for this example, I'm not quite sure how that works necessarily when there are competitors like Target's Our Generation brand. You know, you want to be able to say, I think the American Girl differentiation is they also have storylines attached to their dolls that I don't believe the Target line does. So I think, you know, having that particular innovation and, you know, continued look at history keeps innovation alive. And I think that's probably where the ease for replication would come in. It also helps reduce the chances of, you know, bad actors committing fraud or diverting revenue from their target. I can speak to this example. You know, if you think you're buying American Girl products or really any product from, you know, a reputable source, and you're not actually getting that, you know, especially in this economy, I think you might not have that money to make it right and buy the actual thing that you thought you were getting from the legitimate source once you realize that that a mistake has been made and you've been essentially scammed. Another example I can think of from Reddit, because I do haunt Reddit quite a bit, is, you know, somebody bought what they thought were Doc Martens. And I don't think that they actually were, but, you know, it's kind of a sad story because they, you know, said they saved up for them and they can't actually buy them now because they wasted their money on this one, or on this pair. So, you know, it is, you know, something that brands want to think about is, you know, making sure that, you know, they're getting, the actual branded, product that they thought they were getting. And then finally, just like too many spoof domains can erode trust within your fan base is, you know, if it's happening too often that people are, you know, going to these websites and buying things that they think are a particular brand and they're not, you know, they're going to think, you know, wow, the original brand that I thought that I trusted, you know, it's just too risky trying to buy something out there. And I don't think it's worth it anymore. I've wasted too much of my money on this and I'm not going to be part of this fandom anymore. I'm going to find another one. So yeah, those are just a couple reasons for protecting your brand.
Okay. Well, I think everybody's, now rushing off to check their domain registrations, but you know, you can pause the podcast if you're doing that, but then come back and listen to the rest of this. So, by the way, the story about the Doc Martens reminds me of something that happened way back in Domain Tools history, probably prior to this podcast.
Yeah.
We may have mentioned it a really long time ago, but one of our people who was not on the technical side of the house and not somebody that would normally use tools like Iris Investigate and other Domain Tools product, she bought some Uggs online, and when she got them, it was obvious to her that they were counterfeit, and that didn't sit too well with her. So she opened up a can of OSINT on them and went into Iris Investigate on this domain where they were advertised, where she had bought them, and she learned how to pivot around and whatnot, and she exposed a big campaign of counterfeit stuff going on, and she sent that information to the real UGG company and so forth. So that was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. She became a believer in doing domain OSINT from that day forward, but she was mad. Like, she got into it. She was like rage pivoting.
I'd like that, rage pivoting.
Yeah. I think that's a thing now.
I've been there. I've absolutely been there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've seen the outputs of some of your rage pivots, and they're good. So, okay, so we're talking about usgirlshop.com. By the way, American Girl and US Girl, I think, have a big softball playoff every summer, but we digress.
Yeah, they're different. They're different. Yes.
That's right. So, but speaking of usgirlshop.com, all right, what did you find as you started to dig into this and investigate it further?
Well, even before using any tools, the website itself gave some red flags, like just looking at it. So it did look like the original American Girl website, but the logo was a little bit off. And looking at the current American Girl website, they have a slightly updated logo, whereas US Girl Shop's using a slightly older one. There's minor misspellings, odd spacing, and mistakes, like ampersand code in the navigation bar. And from that alone, I wouldn't feel comfortable giving this website any of my personal information. And kind of luckily, people on this subreddit agreed. You know, this person asked the question, is this website legit? And everybody on the subreddit was like, don't do it. Don't buy from there. Look at this stuff. So good on American Girl fans for calling that out. But, you know, when I go into Iris Investigate and I see the risk score for US Girl Shop, it's 100. So that means it has been blacklisted by a reputable blacklist. And that's its proximity score. So it's very close in proximity to other awful websites, or domains rather. And its phishing and malware scores were also concerning. Not super high, but 48 and 67 respectively. So we categorize those as yellow. So they're getting into a concerning area. The domain for US Girl Shop's also out of China, with a create date of August 12th, 2022, as opposed to American Girl, which was registered in the US with a create date of March 25th, 1997, which makes sense. I remember being a little kid and looking in the catalog, and they started advertising their website around then.
That's a pretty early domain registration.
Yeah, they were pretty cutting edge, because they also had a magazine, and they started, you know, really plugging the magazine as well, as like for stuff for kids to do, like with little activities online and stuff. So it was pretty forward thinking. And the user that registered US Girl Shop, you know, also had other potentially spoofed brands. I saw two shoe stores and then two women's boutiques. I think there's just like other things going on with potential fraud and that particular user. Another interesting thing was the SSL certificate changed pretty frequently on the US Girl Shop. So it changing it every 3 months is more common. But in this instance, it looks like it's been changing every other day.
Not common at all.
Yeah.
Not for legit sites.
So it's not indicative of anything by itself, but it's still odd behavior to notice. And, you know, you could speculate it could be to avoid fingerprinting, or maybe one registrar took the website down and needed to move it to another. But yeah, that was odd. And then also, like, we noticed that they utilized Cloudflare for obfuscation from the beginning. So it's kind of rare that the independent retailer either has the need or the savvy to engage with Cloudflare from the beginning, but it could be a circumstantial indicator of criminal intent. But yeah, those are some of the things that I noticed. It's not, none of it's necessarily like a gotcha. This is absolutely what's happening, but it is all very suspicious.
Strong circumstantial evidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you may not have realized what you were doing at the time, but you were rage pivoting clearly because you're a longtime American Girl fan. And here was this flagrant counterfeit domain that you had found. So, yeah. And this, we see this all the time where somebody that is spoofing thing X, when you go and do some pivoting, rageful or otherwise, and find out what else seems to be under control of the same entity, it's really common that you see exactly what you did here, right? Where either there's a category of things that are similar, even if it's not all the same brand. So they're doing luxury goods, or they're doing something to do with cars, or whatever it is, they've got a theme. Or in other cases, not like this one, but you'll see ones that specifically specialize in a given brand. I see a ton of it with iPhone and other Apple properties, iCloud, iPhone, etc. There's just a massive amount of that spoofing going on all the time. So, clearly the Redditors had the right instincts about this site. So that's good. But so everything you're talking about here, what makes this specifically important for the American Girl brand itself?
So the reason that I was so interested in this, you know, not just because I'm a fan of American Girl itself, but American Girl is owned by Mattel, which also owns Barbie. And Mattel, with the success of the Barbie movie, has announced they're going to make more movies within their IP because they saw, you know, so much success. So that makes sense. It's not just American Girl, it's American Girl, you know, off the top of my head, I can't remember their other, I think Hot Wheels is another one. They've got a number of, you know, toys in their IP that they're going to make movies on. And so my hypothesis is things like this potential fraud, are going to become more rampant as we get closer to the releases of those movies, with people rekindling their interest in the discontinued and hard to find merchandise. You're going to see more of these sorts of websites, you know, pop up as people, you know, rekindle their fandom, or, you know, they want to, you know, expand on their collections. American Girl, or, you know, any other brand, you know, with popularity like this, isn't, you know, maintaining their IP and looking for domains like this, you know, you'll have those instances that I mentioned at the top, where, you know, there's going to be problems with defending, you know, your intellectual property. There's going to be people perhaps abandoning the fandom if there's, you know, too much of this happening. You're not going to get the revenue that you're seeing because people are spending it in the wrong places because, you know, they're trying to look for something at a cheap discounted price. That's my hypothesis.
So as an aside, if Mattel decides to make a movie featuring Hot Wheels mm-hmm. and American Girl, yeah. I really hope that they keep the scales as they are relative to each other, because then you have the Hot Wheels cars driving around Hot Wheels land, and you would have enormous American Girls like rampaging around, kicking over buildings, causing destruction, and I will be there for it.
Me too.
I feel like that's a good segue to just say that we need recess in our normal day so we can go play with Hot Wheels and American Girl dolls.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think growing up I was kind of more of a Matchbox guy, but I'll take a Hot Wheels anyway. I mean, if they're giving them out. So, all right. So this is great. Thank you for taking us through that that investigation you did. And there is a great blog that Callie wrote about this that's up on the Domain Tools site. So folks should check that out. Of course, it'll be linked in the show notes, but let's go to hoodie ratings around this campaign. So, Ian, what are you thinking in terms of hoodies for what Callie's just told us about?
So the attack itself wasn't super sophisticated, and it was a little sloppy here and there. So I'm going to give it about 3 hoodies. But I'm also going to say, 11 out of 10 hoodies for Callie for getting her investigation post out.
Yeah, well, 11 out of 10 goodies, right? Yeah. Chocolate chip goodies.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, is there a hacker American girl who's wearing a hoodie?
There's not. I've thought about this.
That's an
idea for Mattel. I've thought about this a lot. It would be the 80s doll that might be the most. I think the 80s doll
could be adapted.
Could have been. Yeah.
Just put her in front of a
computer. You're a maker, Callie. You should make one.
We could make this.
Yeah. Put her in front of a computer with, you ready for it? Callie Linux on it.
And you can
what
find
about
me on
you? Hoodie rating. What do you think about this one, Callie?
I feel pretty similarly to Ian. Originally, I swear I was also going to say 3. I'm not just saying it because he said it first. But yeah, I feel like it's a 3 because it is already noticed on a block list, I would say. I'm also really happy that people on Reddit are aware or somebody asked before they even, bought from that site. I'm sure there's other people that don't though. But then I also really appreciate that there's other people noticing those, they're small red flags, but they're there, and we're able to dissuade that person from buying, anything from that website.
Yeah. And it's also worth pointing out that sometimes these sites that are ostensibly going to sell you counterfeit fake goods may also be doing other things if you do business with them, like harvesting credit card credentials or other kinds of things like that. So, yeah, so stay away from those. All right. Well, Callie, hey, thanks so much for letting us turn the tables here and being one of our interviewees. That was a great story, and I appreciate the hoodie ratings from both of y'all. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back from that break, the tables will have turned back to normal again, and Callie will be back in the interviewer chair. Happy break, everyone. Hi there, Breaking Badness friends and family. Colonel Panic, Tim, here from the team. If this is your first time hearing our production, welcome aboard. If you're a longtime listener, you can't be a first-time caller because we don't do that. But what you can do is leave us a 5-star rating, and if you're feeling extra ambitious, a review wherever you get your podcasts. And for new and returning listeners alike, tell a friend if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Thanks a bunch, and now let's get back to the show.
Woohoo! It's good to be back. But it was fun to be in that seat, though.
Did the eclipse happen during the break?
No, it happens at 3:13. So
okay.
we gotta end this fight.
See, the audience doesn't actually know how long our break is, right?
Because
we could have been away for 2 days.
But no.
Could just sit here marveling at the eclipse like we're
right in the
path of the totality on a sunny day. Hey, Callie, I told you you could look at it with your eyes.
No, I know. I've got my special library provided ISO glasses.
Our library's great.
Love libraries.
Yeah.
They're the best.
Oh my God. I'm looking out my window. I'm like, now I'm seeing some roving teenagers getting ready for the total.
Roving bands of teenagers.
Yeah. That's what happens when, there's an eclipse, I guess.
Well, also when school's out.
True.
On an unexpected, not a normal school out day.
Yeah.
This is why I have a moat. I don't actually have a moat. Plans
just for eclipses.
Squad goals.
Yeah.
Do pirates have moats?
They have boats.
They have boats. That's true. I was trying to segue into our next thing. I don't know if I did well enough, but our next story is A Pirate's Life for Me. And we're talking about Proofpoint, who identified multiple YouTube channels distributing malware by providing cracked and pirated video games and related content. So as somebody that's getting into gaming in their 30s, because, I'm refusing to grow up, I'm playing video games, I'm reading American Girl doll books. This is
that's the way to be.
It's it's hitting close to home. So Ian, why do threat? So this is actually, bad actors going after home users. But Ian, why would threat actors want to go after them? Because wouldn't the payoff be much smaller than going after enterprises?
Yes, but the initial investment is also much, much lower. Home users are where the low-hanging fruit is, or where some of the low-hanging fruit is. They're typically less protected than enterprise users, without endpoint protection beyond Microsoft Defender, and sometimes they've even disabled that. Defender's come a long way from what it used to be, but even then, it's still an arms race between defenders and attackers. There's a second point to consider beyond the technical, though, and that's that there's a massive difference in risk perception between an adult at work and an adult or child at home playing games. There's not as much pressure because livelihood doesn't come into play. Your internal posture goes from professional to leave me alone, I want to be a wizard for a while. And gaming as a context primes users to be more nudgeable. Their behavior is more malleable through known means like dark patterns and incentives to do things or allow access that they may not think reasonable otherwise or in other contexts. I know this because as a constant gamer, I go through it too. Behavioral economics and modern marketing are a heck of a team up, and threat actors have noticed it, picked it up, and run with it. Operating in the cognitive frame of gaming, even if you're technically sophisticated, you're much less likely to understand in the moment that you're suddenly downloading someone else's unverified code and running it on your device or giving permissions to something that you shouldn't. The cognitive frame is built around the game and the goals that you want to accomplish there without the accompanying risk profiling, because that cognitive frame applies to a virtual environment. So in short, home users have less protection, less user awareness and concern, and an incredible array of tricks and techniques to nudge user behavior where it might not ordinarily go.
Oh, gotcha. So what were the indicators that an account, one of these accounts had been compromised? What did Proofpoint notice?
So in general, what you're looking at for any kind of compromised account really is a change in behavior. So you have to look at their previous behavior, get a baseline from that, and see if anything's changed at a substantial level. For this account, the first thing was long periods of dormancy, followed by a flurry of activity. So the account hadn't posted in more than a year, and then suddenly posted a dozen or more videos within 24 hours. The second tell in this case is a difference in language for the content. The original content was posted in Thai, and the new content was posted in English. The third tell here is a change in the content itself, whether it's format, how the content is formatted, or thematic, whether it's a different theme. And this case seemed to involve a change in both. It was different types of videos themed on something completely different from what the initial channel theme seemed to be.
Okay, gotcha. Some of the descriptions that they put in the videos, it gets more malicious when you look at those indicators. Can you share more about that for our listeners?
Yeah, this habit goes back ages. They go into how to disable Windows Defender or other antivirus prior to launching the file. This in particular is something gamers are groomed for from previous experience, especially when it's folks that deal with trainers and cheats and things like that. The entire family of trainers and cheats and injectors, the entire family of software often involves accessing things inside the computer that it's unsafe for regular users to have access to. So system level processes and privileged processes, privileged memory channels, and more. So it's not uncommon for even a legitimate trainer to cause a false positive from antivirus just because that's how they have to operate to affect the gameplay experience as the game is being played. And anybody who's been in this realm before is very familiar with the same post that the actor put on one of their videos was, "This file's clean, I promise. Just disable antivirus. The file's fine. I've got no reason to lie." There's a long history of that in the gaming community, though. Most of it isn't great.
Yeah, I feel like I probably fell for something like that a while ago, unfortunately. But Proofpoint identified multiple videos purporting to distribute Empress video game cracks. What exactly is Empress?
This is one of the more interesting things about this issue for me. Empress is a persona. And it's personas are something we're super familiar with in threat intelligence, right? It's from most perspectives, not a bad actor persona in this case. Empress identifies as a her in user forums and other places, also README files for the cracks. Identifies as a her and identifies as Russian, and is a well-known and well-skilled game and software cracker on a level that few others are at. Her stated motivations are removing DRM, digital rights management, so that the game can keep running once the publisher ends support for it, and because DRM often causes performance issues in games. And I kind of agree with her on both. However, she also tends to leave some pretty harmful rants in places, which isn't great. But just Empress being involved, the persona there, whether that's an actual person or whether it's a constructed persona, is a really intriguing part of this, even though Empress isn't actually involved. They're just using that name to try to make it even more familiar for people to download the cracks.
Gotcha. Thanks, Ian. In Sandbox Detonation, it was discovered that the payload is Vidar. I believe that's how we are pronouncing that. But we've discussed Vidar on this podcast before, but can you provide a refresher for our listeners?
Yeah. Vidar Stealer is a info stealer malware available under the malware as a service model on the darknet, usually targeting passwords, cryptocurrency wallets, and similar secrets. Along with Raccoon and Redline, it's probably in the top three most popular info stealers, and the whole genre has seen a huge boost since early 2023 or so. Some circumstantial evidence points to Russian origins. That's still up for debate. It's an offshoot of the RK Trojan family. And Vidar itself is more often delivered via email, but there's also a pretty solid history of it being bundled in pirated software and game hacks, or even completely innocuous downloads where you think you're downloading the actual legitimate free software like a password manager or something, and it ends up being executable with the Vidar info stealer because you got shunted to, say, a domain that's a homoglyph attack domain, or got sent there through other social engineering.
Gotcha. Okay. And how has YouTube responded to this, and how can end users protect themselves?
So the Proofpoint team, who did amazing work on this, Proofpoint Emerging Threats is an awesome team, and I love it when they come out with new stuff. The Proofpoint team advised that YouTube responded quickly to Proofpoint as far as taking down the accounts in question, but appears to have provided no more information to help defenders, which is disappointing but not surprising. Unfortunately, it means that the trail kind of goes cold, and defending against something like that or finding more evidence of it and sending more takedowns is going to be harder because it's harder to establish a profile to automate. Google's probably as incentivized to make something like this harder for defenders to detect and request takedowns on as they are to take it down themselves to protect votes. They don't want people to see their platform as being involved in this, even if it makes it harder for defenders to find it. On the end user level, the first thing an end user can do to protect herself is realize that her demographic as a gamer is regularly targeted by bad actors in many different ways, between this attack, bad domains, malvertising, and more. So the gamer should sit back and integrate that into the threat profile so that she's more likely to remember when sitting down for a gaming session that, well, you are a target. And not everything that happens in the context of your gaming session is going to be virtual or fictional. So you have to assess things like game mods or hacks or cracks very closely, because you have to do it while remembering that you're very explicitly executing someone else's code on your computer, and there are real world consequences to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I could think of for myself is won't get malvertising or code by buying something weird for my character that he doesn't need. Like, my character doesn't need a hat. He can play just fine without it.
See, I want all the things. I'm a greedy little loot goblin when I play games. So,
well, that's, yeah.
And certain actors are counting on that.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead, Ian. I was cutting you off.
Oh, that's fine. years ago, before I was even in IT full time, I was still, I had a basic interest in security at that point, but did one of the dumbest things that I could think of and downloaded a game trainer from a website, from a forum website, but the domain for the download was in .ru. And I realized as soon as I clicked it that I was doing something really dumb and stopped it, and then, you know, ran multiple antiviruses and everything, and, you know, nothing executed. But you forget that context where you're trying to get something accomplished virtually, but how you do it is going to have real world consequences.
You know, don't you just love that moment, like the instant after you clicked something, when you realize you see yourself in slow motion going, oh no.
Absolutely.
Just clicked, yep. It. Yeah. We've all been there.
It's the worst. And then I usually message Ian. I'm like, Ian, I clicked on something. And he's very nice about it. So I appreciate that.
It's fine. I think you've only done that once or twice, or at least it, as far as letting me know. I don't know if you've done it more, but
definitely twice at this point.
Well, I mean, that's the point, though. Everybody does it. Everybody gets hooked in through all sorts of means. So it happens to everybody.
Or memes.
It makes me feel a little bit better that it's all of us. But thank you so much, Ian, for walking us through that story from Proofpoint. We'll go into our hoodie rating now. So, Tim, having heard this, what are you thinking hoodie-wise?
Yeah, this is an interesting space for illegitimate software and info stealers and all of that stuff to operate, right? Because there has always been this kind of gray edge of things that are not necessarily malware and they're not necessarily harmful, but they are accessories, whether they're cheat codes, they're who knows what, you know, all the halo of stuff that sits around the actual games themselves. And finding the line between what's going to be actually harmful in that space versus, I don't know, let's say business tools, right? Business SaaS tools, where it's, I think it's a little more straightforward in your day job. I think most people probably aren't going to try to get add-ons for Microsoft Office from some sketchy site.
I hate to tell you, but it happens so much.
I'm sure it does happen, just probably not as often. So, so I think I'm going to put this at 4 hoodies. It, you know, I think mostly we're kind of speaking to our audience, maybe thinking about their day jobs and how these things might affect what goes on in an enterprise IT environment. And this probably doesn't affect enterprises that much because most enterprises probably don't allow a lot of access to gaming type of materials on their networks. I know you could probably say I'd be surprised about that too, and I might be. But it does affect a really big part of the population who enjoy gaming and who are potentially manipulable for all the reasons that Ian articulated. So yeah, put me down for 4.
Okay. Can do. Ian, do you feel 4-ish as well? Feeling differently?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Tim. It's not super sophisticated. You know, the trails have been already well blazed, but it's a pretty decent threat, and there's very few resources pointed at it. It would be, I think, very enlightening to see a couple major teams look at gaming vulnerabilities, and it would probably turn the industry a bit on its head. So, yeah, I'm going to go with 4 out of 10.
Okay, cool. We are at 3-3 and 4-4 on our stories today. That's cool.
Such harmonious hoodie ratings.
I know. Very good. Very cool of us. Well, before we exit today, do we want to do some gold guidance and grievances?
We do. And I remember a little bit of a hint at the beginning of the show that maybe Callie, you might be playing along with this. So yes. Let's turn things around yet again. Wow. Episode 186 is shaking it up here. So yeah. Callie, we just heard from Ian on that story. And thank you for that, Ian. Callie, would you like to share some gold guidance and grievances? And for anybody that's a new listener, what we share is, it's kind of just like it sounds, gold, something really interesting, really click-worthy in a good way. We won't ever send you anywhere dangerous with our gold recommendations. Guidance, some kind of suggestion that you have for things, could be InfoSec related, could be InfoSec adjacent, or could be just something entirely different. And grievances, things that really grind your gears, or as we found out last week, jam your bobbins. So, but we don't do them in that order because who wants to end on a grievance? Nah, we don't want to end on a grievance. We want to end on gold, so we don't do them in that order. So, Callie, let's start off with your grievance, and then we're going to end on a high point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't really call it a grievance so much as it does jam my bobbin a little bit. The people trying to cash in on the eclipse. I mean, I guess, you know, companies do have to make some money, but... yeah, like at the stores, the protective glasses were 2 for $20, which is a lot of money, I think, for what they are. But at the NASA store, because we do have a branch of NASA here in Cleveland, they are $1.50. But the gripe there is the gift shop is kind of hard to get to. You got to go through a lot of guards to get to the gift shop. I will say the turning point there is the library was giving them out for free. So I've got my free library glasses. So that's went from $20 to no dollars. So,
by the way, is there still a big building at Hopkins Airport that says NASA on the roof? I remember that from many years ago. I always thought it was cool.
Yeah, I believe so. As far as I know, I might not be as I might not notice it as much just because I'm here all the time, but yeah, as far as I know, there is. So yeah, that's cool. My
all
guidance,
right. Yeah,
going yeah, on. It's my guidance is not InfoSec-y. I just discovered it watch Yellow Jackets on Showtime. It is a very compelling show. The way that I can describe it is it's like Lord of the Flies, but for a modern audience, and the cast is female. So it's very intriguing so far. So yeah, that's interesting. And then my gold, I had a gold and now I can't remember what it was. I should have written it down.
It was the library with free eclipse glasses.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I turned my grievance into a gold. Maybe that's what I was thinking of earlier, but I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
You can go with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. The library coming through once again. I've definitely sung the praises of the library on this podcast before, and this is just another cool thing that they did.
Also, just as an aside, it's pretty great to have a NASA museum nearby.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was it a museum or just gift shop, or is it both?
It's both. I don't actually know, like, what sort of work they do at this branch of NASA. But, yeah, I've definitely been there for school field trips, and they, you know, they've got a gift shop. But, you know, you can't really get to it that easily. So
that's which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Where in American commerce do we make it hard to go buy stuff?
I know.
Very many places.
Wait, we put the science first?
We did
well,
it. Guys.
It sounds from Cali like they mostly just put a bunch of guards first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We did.
Okay. I guess that's more American, isn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately. So, yeah, so those are my gold guidance and grievances.
All right. Excellent. A first-time gold guidance and grievances, not in that order, from Callie. So, Ian, over to you. What do you got?
All right. My grievance is going to be Roku, the set-top box and television maker, as they've applied for a patent to inject ads over any HDMI import device.
No. Over any device?
Yep. So basically, what it looks like is it's for use in Roku TVs, because those are the more expensive things that you can't really replace as easy as a set-top box. Mm-hmm. So they just want to inject ads whenever they so choose.
My God, I'm going to go back to a CRT television.
Right. So, yeah, Roku can get in the bin.
Yeah.
My guidance is semi-related, and it's going to be, if you don't use an ad blocker, you should use an ad blocker. It's not just a statement against the amount of advertisement that we're non-consensually plunged into every day. It's also a security mechanism at this point, because none of the major ad-serving places have enough protections against malvertising and other malicious campaigns. So get you an ad blocker. I usually suggest uBlock Origin. The complicating factor here is that as of next year or so, Google Chrome is shooting all ad blockers in the kneecap. So you might want to investigate looking at different browsers. I am a happy Firefox user of many years and will stay so with my ad blocker intact. So that is my guidance for the day.
I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm kind of on a tinfoil slate here. I've got a tinfoil slate of candidates, because my gold is going to be something called Graphene OS, which is a fork of Android that has stripped a lot of the commercial Google stuff out of it done a lot of privacy and security enhancements, to the point that the Graphene OS team, which is an independent team, has submitted multiple vulnerabilities to Android proper to be patched lately, including multiple pixel vulnerabilities. So this Graphene OS team, despite, you know, just working on their project, has made multiple security finds and actually contributed to the whole Android ecosystem while helping their own direct users preserve privacy and security. So yeah, gold to Graphene OS and the team.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Hey, by the way, going back to your guidance for a second, it would be really interesting, and we'll have to keep our eyes out for this, if somebody experiments with, for those, to defeat those Roku ads, using a pie hole or something similar, but for sinkholing the ad domains and what happens if you do that. I would love to see results of somebody testing it, and somebody probably will.
Yeah, absolutely. Like anything else, it's an arms race between the advertisers and the people who just want to enjoy the electronics that they bought.
It does make me wonder if how close we're getting to the singularity, by which I mean, of course, the point at which you cannot buy a TV that's not smart.
Smart, I put in heavy quotations. Yeah. It's already incredibly hard. The smart components subsidize a lot of the TVs, so you end up paying a lot more. Your other option tends to be end up going for monitors instead.
Exactly.
Getting a monitor instead of a TV. But there are drawbacks to it. So I definitely agree with you on that. That being interesting.
Oh man. All right. Well, hey, Callie, thanks for letting me host Gold Guidance and Grievances. And I'll turn it back over to you to take us out this week.
Yeah, of course. All right. We've reached the end of this episode, folks. But please come back again next week, because we will have another all new episode of Breaking Badness. Thank you to Ian for sharing his article today. Thank you to Tim for interviewing me. I appreciate you.
Thanks for being interviewed.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This was fun. Thank you to our listeners, and we hope to catch you again for another episode of Breaking Badness next week. Stay frosty, everybody.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks, folks.
That's about all we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter at Domain Tools. All of the articles and IOCs mentioned today will be included in our blog post, which can be found at domaintools.com/resources/podcasts. Catch us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time when we publish our podcast and blog. We'll see you next week on another episode of Breaking Badness. Until then, remember, don't drink and click.